ਸਪਾਈਸ ਸਿਟੀ ਸੁਣੇ ਦੋਸਤੋ, ਤੁਸੀਂ ਸ਼ਾਮਿਲ ਹੋ ਗੁਰਪ੍ਰੀਤ ਸਿੰਘ ਦਾ ਨਾਮ ਪ੍ਰੋਗਰਾਮ ਸੰਡੇ ਸਪੈਸ਼ਲ ਵਿੱਚ। ਥੋੜ੍ਹੇ ਜਿਹੇ ਪ੍ਰੋਗਰਾਮ ਸ਼ਾਮਿਲ ਕਰਨਾ ਬਹੁਤ ਹੀ ਖਾਸ ਮਹਾਨ ਹੋ ਸਾਡੇ ਦੀ, ਖਾਸ ਮਹਾਨ ਹੈ ਮੰਜਰਾ ਜਿਹੜੀ ਕਿ ਪ੍ਰੋਫੈਸਰ ਜੀ ਐਨ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਬਾਬਾ ਦੀ ਬੇਟੀ ਹੈ। ਯਾਦ ਰਹੇ ਕਿ ਅਸੀਂ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਬਾਬਾ ਨਾਲ ਕਈ ਗੱਲ ਵੀ ਗੱਲਬਾਤ ਕਰ ਚੁੱਕੇ ਹਾਂ, ਜਿਹੜੇ ਮਨੁੱਖਿਕਾਂ ਦੇ ਕਾਰਕੁਨ ਸੀ। ਲੰਮਾ ਸਮਾਂ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਜੇਲ੍ਹ ਵਿੱਚ ਰਹਿਣਾ ਪਿਆ ਫਰਜ਼ੀ ਮਾਮਲੇ ਤਹਿਤ, ਮਗਰ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਛੱਡਣਾ ਪੈ ਗਿਆ। ਲੱਕ ਤੋਂ ਹੇਠਾਂ ਪਾਇਆ ਸੀ, ਅਨੇਕਾਂ ਵਾਰਾਂ ਜੂਝ ਰਹੇ ਸੀ, ਜੇਲ੍ਹ ਵਿੱਚ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੀ ਹਾਲਤ ਵਿਗੜਦੀ ਚਲੀ ਗਈ, ਜਿਸਦੇ ਚੱਲਦਿਆਂ ਪਿੱਛੇ ਜੇ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੀ ਮੌਤ ਹੋ ਗਈ। ਸਾਡੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਨਹੀਂ ਰਹੇ, ਇੱਕ ਬੁੱਧੀਜੀਵੀ ਸਨ ਜਿਹੜੇ ਮਨੁੱਖਿਕਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਪ੍ਰਣਾਏ ਹੋਏ ਸੀ। ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੀ ਬੇਟੀ ਮੰਜਰਾ PhD ਕਰ ਰਹੀ ਇੰਗਲਿਸ਼ ਲਿਟਰੇਚਰ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਹੈਦਰਾਬਾਦ ਯੂਨੀਵਰਸਿਟੀ ਤੋਂ। ਸੋ ਅੱਜ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਪ੍ਰੋਗਰਾਮ ਸ਼ਾਮਿਲ ਕਰਨ ਜਾ ਰਹੇ, ਕਿਉਂਕਿ 3 ਦਸੰਬਰ ਦਿਨ ਬੜਾ ਅਹਿਮ ਹੈ। 3 ਦਸੰਬਰ ਨੂੰ ਅਭਗਤਾ ਦਾ ਸ਼ਿਕਾਰ ਜਿਹੜੇ ਲੋਕਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਸਮਰਪਿਤ ਦਿਹਾੜਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ, ਸੋ ਉਸਨੂੰ ਮੁੱਖ ਰੱਖਦੇ ਹੋਏ ਸ਼ਰਧਾਂਜਲੀ ਤੌਰ 'ਤੇ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਬਾਬਾ ਨੂੰ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੀ ਬੇਟੀ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਵਿਸ਼ੇਸ਼ ਗੱਲਬਾਤ। ਮੰਜਰਾ, ਥੈਂਕਸ ਫੋਰ ਜੁਆਇਨਿੰਗ ਮੀ।
ਥੈਂਕ ਯੂ ਫੋਰ ਇਨਵਾਈਟਿੰਗ ਮੀ ਐਜ਼ ਵੈਲ।
ਐਨੀ ਟਾਈਮ। ਸੋ ਮੰਜਰਾ, ਫਸਟ ਆਫ ਆਲ ਪਲੀਜ਼ ਐਕਸੈਪਟ ਅਵਰ ਕੰਡੋਲੈਂਸਿਸ ਫੋਰ ਵਾਟ ਹੈਪਨ ਟੂ ਯੂਰ ਡੈਡ।
Yeah, it was a tragedy that nobody expected.
Certainly.
Because he was back with us after so many years of hard struggle.
Right. So Manjira, what can you tell us about some early memories of your dad?
So when I was born, like for first 5-6 years of my life, I spent it with my grandmother. Because both my parents were full-time activists and they were traveling all over the country. They were not settled in one city. And I would always look forward to the time when my dad would come. And I was like really tiny at that time, and then I would like get on top of him, his stomach, and then I would like I would not leave him alone till he told me many stories of different things. I would constantly keep asking, and I needed to be put to sleep, you know, and he would sing me a song about like kulanna. That's a word we say, like a worker who's working so hard, who's doing everything for you. So he used to sing like revolutionary songs to me as lullabies about workers when I was a little kid. And that's like one of the earliest memories that I still remember so fondly about him.
How beautiful, how beautiful. Being an educator, what else did he teach you as a child, apart from helping you in learning your school lessons?
So ever since I was a kid, both my parents, they taught me that there is this inherent inequality in society, in the way things are structured, and some people are in a position of privilege and power. And at first, like, I didn't understand things exactly, you know. When I was a kid, I would attend all these meetings and protests that my parents would be a part of, but I never understood or felt that glaring inequality of wealth, of class and caste. And that is one of the first things like my dad told me about. I was really fascinated by all these Western things when I was a kid. And around when I was in fourth grade or fifth grade, my dad took me to a new mall that had been built in Delhi. And he told me that, you know, like all these brands who are there here, a lot of them are built off on top of exploited workers' labor. And he told me that before the mall here, there used to be a slum where so many people were here at this particular point. So like he used to like bring like such lessons and awareness everywhere in all little things in life, that sometimes, you know, you would just acknowledge, or it would be so natural or normal for him. So that is the one key thing they have taught me, to recognize the privilege and inequality and to question it, to hope and aim for a society, a world that is equal, with filled with ideas of, you know, liberty and solidarity. Yeah.
Certainly. Now, how challenging it was for you to be a daughter of a human rights defender who had to face persecution?
So there are two different sides to this thing. One side is that it is definitely not easy in India right now to be associated or be a, to be a human rights activist itself is a threatening job right now. Whether it is my mother, my father, several of my family friends that I know, you are treated like a terrorist almost. The moment UAPA is slapped on you, whether you have been proven guilty or innocent, the atmosphere of fear that the government creates, you are immediately treated as a criminal, branded as one, an associate of a criminal. So that is there, that kind of of course, like, society and people look at you through that lens without even digging deep into the matter and looking into all the false cases that have been initiated against human rights activists. So to defend for people's rights, to demand equality, has become such a big crime here. So that is one aspect that it is certainly threatening. Like, several people that I know, they face this constant fear when what will happen next. But on the other side of things, like, if you tell me to go back in past and, say that, like, tell my dad that don't do this, dad, I don't think I would do that. And even if he could go back to past and, stop doing his activism because he was in danger of getting arrested because of that, he would not do that as well. Because what I am as a person, it is, my identity is based on my dad as an activist and his identity as well. He would not be able to get a peaceful sleep if he wasn't defending people's rights, because he himself has come from such a place of struggle that he knows and he's aware of things. I hope I could convey what I meant.
Definitely. Tell us a bit about the last conversation you had with him.
So, since he came back, there were so many things to catch up with, because it was barely 7 months. He had barely spent 7 months with us before he passed away. And we, we took it for granted, me and my dad both, that we had so much time. He told me, Manjira, one day I'll tell you all the things about the jail, when I'm planning to write a series of memoirs about my jail experiences. I'm going to, tell you the things as I write them, and use telling you these stories as a mnemonic device, as a memory device, to remember and write my experiences. So he never even got to tell me all those things. But the last conversation I had, we were both planning to read Marx's Capital together. I requested his help because it's like, I wanted his expertise to guide me to read this, and I'm in my first year of PhD right now. So I thought this text would be helpful to me. So we discussed that, like, we'll read some readings on Marx. And before he passed, it was, his condition was bad. He was in tremendous pain. His stomach was bloated, and they were about to put him on ventilator to take him for a surgery. And he told me that, Manjira, don't worry about things. I have inquired the doctors about the whole process. I will be fine. You read up on this text and we will talk tomorrow. That's the last conversation I had with him.
Right. Now, what inspired you the most about him, about his personality?
There are many things that inspired me, but one thing would be that, he was a very determined person, almost to the point of stubbornness. And sometimes we used to get into fights about that, and he used to tell me that, Manjira, there is a reason why I am so determined. It's because as a kid, as a handicapped kid growing up in a rural area in India, where there are no resources or even awareness of this, it is so easy for people to just ignore you or toss you aside or mistreat you. If you are not determined, if you don't stand up for what you believe in, if you are not confident about what you want to do, you will be ignored and pushed aside. I have come from such circumstances. So I know my beliefs and I will always stand up for them in a very determined way. So, you know, him overcoming his struggles and learning all his life what he has learned has gives him like his reason for gives the foundation for his determination, and I have always admired that.
Right. Your thoughts on his untimely death?
It's like I have always had this fear that my dad was not going to make it alive out of prison,
right?
Because of the way they treated him, denying medicines and denying essential treatment, and his health condition in the undercell where he spent most of his time in isolation was pretty horrible. The Indian jail cells are not equipped to handle a differently abled person, and this jail cell particularly is a colonial legacy, and the Brits used it as a torture cell back in the day, and it has still been preserved today, and it's now being used to lock up human rights activists. So we were very afraid of what's going to happen to him, especially in 2020 when he got COVID for the first time, and the next year he got COVID for the second time, then later he got the swine flu. We were really terrified of what was going to happen to him.
Right.
And when he came out, I felt like, you know, I could breathe again. Or like, he's okay, he will be okay, he has the best the modern medicine can provide him. But then, he was supposed to get his gallbladder operation in 2017. For so many years, that infection was left to fester inside his abdomen. That when the doctors were attempting the operation, they said that the infection had spread to an unprecedented extent and all his tissues were decaying. His body, as strong as his mind and his willpower was, his body was weakened. And despite like people's best attempts to save him, it could not sustain even such a simple surgery.
Right.
And I don't know what to say about it. Like, you know, like it's a question we all need to wonder. Like, who killed him?
Right.
Is it or was his death natural, in quotes? Because if he had gotten treatment, if the state had not denied him bail, medical bail, emergency medical bail, or even parole, you know, would he still have been in this condition? If his first acquittal had gone through in 2022, where the High Court acquitted him for the first time, and then suddenly that acquittal was denied in a special Saturday hearing, I'm sure you must be familiar with the circumstances of the case. Would he still have been with us if he had gotten the medical treatment on time?
Right.
What can we call this death is the question here.
Certainly. So what course of action the family is planning to take to make the government accountable for his sufferings and also the circumstances leading to his death?
Yeah, so the first thing is that, and this is something Dad was working on when he was in Delhi as well, when he came out, that he wanted to get his job back. There was no other passion that he had other than teaching. You know, he loved spending time in the classroom and discussing things with young minds. And he was working already on getting his job back. We had submitted a letter to the VC, the Vice Chancellor of Delhi University, who can indeed, you know, take away the termination. He can restore my dad as a teacher, but there was no response from the university side. So we approached the Delhi High Court, where there is an ongoing case to reinstate my dad to his rightful position. That is the first thing, because we must restore his name as the educator that he was. He only got terminated from his job because of this false case that kept him locked in the prison for 10 years. And the government must compensate him on that basis, especially. The other basis is the of compensation, especially the years wasted due to this false case. That will also follow suit. We will work with our lawyers to discuss and see what kind the case that we will file to hold the government accountable. But first thing is that the government must reinstate him as a professor on the rooster because that is the responsibility it bears to, because it wasted 10 years of his life and the rest of his life that he'll never get back because of this false case.
Certainly. Well, Manjula, it was nice talking to you. Thank you so much for your time. Is there anything I didn't ask you before I let you go?
It's just that I wish, you know, more people had met my dad. It's like he wanted to travel the world after he came out because he said that he felt suffocated, cooped up in that isolated under cell where you can barely see the other person once or twice during the entire day. And he had actually plans to come to Canada as well and meet as many people. And I wish people met him because he was such a warm person. He's a soft-spoken person, you know, and he is very firm and determined in the way he talks. And it just makes you feel at calm and at peace. And I just wish people got to experience that feeling of meeting him, of knowing the person that I know he was. That's all I'd like to add.
Certainly. Talk to you again, Manjula. Take care. Bye for now.
Yes, take care.
Thank you. दोस्तों ऐसी मंजिला रेड्डी के प्रोफेसर साहिबाबाद की बेटी सो विशेष गलबात उसने की थी अपने प्यो दी कुछ यादा साझा की ने और जो उन्होंने सिखाया अपनी बच्ची उसके बारे दसिया छोटी जी ब्रेक पर सुंदर गोस्वामी स्टूडियो 1200 एम डायल से।